As promised, I'm back to review the rest of season one of the critically acclaimed Fallout TV show. I'm sure the question on some people's minds is, well, does it get better? Believe it or not, kind of, a little bit. In the sense that you can turn your brain off, and if you don't care about the Fallout franchise, which is the case for most of the people who like this show, then you could just consume this mediocre slop and not really think much of it. This is about as superficial as an adaptation can possibly be. It has a bunch of visual references, and that's really all it takes to get normies on board with your show. You can absolutely take a massive dump on the lore, especially of the original games and New Vegas. That's fine, because most Fallout fans, if you can even call them fans, have only played Fallout 4, and so they don't care about the universe, they don't care about the characters, they don't even care about the theme. They don't even know what the theme is. People think it's about capitalism. The games literally tell you in the intro cutscene and the epilogue, war never changes. And yet somehow, now it's about capitalism bad. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. As some of you may have noticed, my last video got absolutely brigaded, more than maybe I've ever seen before, by Redditors, Discord groomers, outrage merchants on Twitter, the list goes on. That was probably the least organic my comment section has ever looked, ever. But if you've been watching this channel for a long time, you might be thinking, well, that's nothing too out of the ordinary. That's happened a bunch of times to this channel. Well, even reading these comments, I knew something fishy was going on. The first thing I noticed is that there were a lot of suspiciously similar comments copy-pasted in the reply chains of all the top comments in my video. And they would only ever address the same few points, whether it's the show breaking the lore, or Shady Sands falling, and then the nuke happening after it fell, and we'll address that later in this video. But none of those comments addressed anything I actually said in the video itself. I think the only comments talking about the video itself were people triggered about my comments regarding interracial couples. Which is funny because I didn't even give my opinion on interracial couples. I just brought up statistics and pointed out how it's propaganda that they appear in all modern media. But I guess with Redditors being proud cuckolds, literally, they feel the need to defend Tyrone's honor as he plows their wife every night. The funniest one to me is there would always be a comment claiming this show doesn't break the lore. Not explaining how it doesn't, just saying that it doesn't. You know, all the nitpicks aside, I would say the biggest retcon of all is Shady Sands teleporting 200 miles across California into the heart of LA. The Boneyard doesn't even exist in this show. No, Shady Sands is now in LA, which was not the case in Fallout 1. But to claim that it doesn't break the lore when you don't even know what the lore is, that's a fucking bot, dude. The second thing I noticed is that video has way more comments than almost any video in the entire history of my channel. At the time of recording this, the video is just under 200,000 views and has 14,000 comments. For comparison, my Starfield video, which has 680,000, has 12,000 comments. And I'm sure some delusional person is gonna say, well, it's just people arguing with each other. But these are my videos we're talking about. People are debating each other in the comments basically every time I give a negative take on a modern game. No, these are bots, actual AI chat bots that are being rolled out into YouTube comment sections. And so, suspecting these were bots, I wrote a pinned comment. And of course, I was inflammatory, but this is me we're talking about, so that's besides the point. But in the comment, I said, if you do not reply to one of these three questions posted, I will block you from this channel. And the whole point of that was to prove that you are not an AI chatbot. And what do you think happened? Well, over 50 comments did not address any of the three questions in the post. And yes, some of these were just retarded Zoomers or millennial Redditors who were trying to throw a gotcha in. But no, there were quite a few that are just straight up fucking chatbot responses that don't address anything in the post. My story has been corroborated by V, not the board, but the Romanian who's Sargon's buddy you might remember from back in the day. He also confirmed he was debating with bots on Twitter. You can check out the Archcast video reviewing the show. Their comments are full of bots. One thing I absolutely can't blame on bots, however, is the sheer number of people claiming I didn't pay attention to the first episode because I got a bunch of plot points wrong. Every single point I got wrong is because I only watched the first episode, which I stated in the last video. Yes, the show has this thing called plot twists. Did you want me to read a Cliff's Notes of every episode plot before I made the review? Are people not allowed to review just the first episode of a show? Look, I know a lot of the noticers in my audience are not the least bit shocked by this and probably don't really care that much, but this is fucking huge. AstroTurfing has gotten completely out of control at this point. I've seen plenty of paid marketers on other websites, especially on Reddit and 4chan, but if now YouTube comments are just gonna be flooded with bots, there's gonna be no real discussion anymore. It'll be so easy to create the illusion of a majority opinion. And speaking of which, there were many bot comments that basically said something along the lines of, how does it feel to be in the minority opinion? If 99.9% of people think 2 plus 2 equals 5, does that mean they're right? No, it doesn't, you fucking idiots. Call of Duty sells like 20 million copies a year, and we all know it's trash. I don't care if everyone likes the Fallout show, it's still garbage. So yeah, sorry if that was a little long, but I had to get this out of the way first, just so that my viewers know that there's a very good chance you'll be debating with either bots or Redditors in bad faith who just hate me because I have controversial political opinions. There's nothing a Redditor hates more than people who can think for themselves. Alright, since I have to cover 7 episodes in one video, I'm going to heavily condense the plot synopsis for each episode and give my thoughts on the major details. I don't really have time to nitpick everything, or this video will be over an hour long, and I'm not going to make this over an hour long, I promise you. So feel free to point out other things you hated about the show. I'm sure there'll be plenty I don't hit in this video. Without further ado, here's the rest of Fallout Season 1. Starting off with episode 2, we have easily the worst episode of the show. It starts off where we see an Enclave research facility, I guess, and the one not evil Enclave scientist, who spares a German Shepherd from incineration and takes it as his own. For some reason that is never explained, by the way, he gets access to this extremely important artifact that is the MacGuffin that drives the entire plot of the show. And in fact, after this scene, the Enclave never shows up again in the show. Long story short, he has to escape from the facility. An auto turret shoots at him and misses every fucking shot as he's moving at 2 miles an hour. Look at how bad this looks. Just remember that people actually like this show every time you see shit like this. In the next scene, we see Lucy explore the desert wasteland of California. And the Enclave scientist finds her at night, conveniently, and tries to explain to her that the wasteland is an inhospitable nightmare where the creatures there have adapted to become more lethal, and she needs to adapt in kind. This is one of many scenes where it shows Lucy is incredibly naive about the state of the world, and she needs to become hardened to survive here. Guess what? She never does. Next scene, we're back with Maximus, and we soon learn that the knight that he's serving under is a pathetic weakling asshole and probably also racist. Yet, for some reason, the genius showrunners and Bethesda by extension thought it was a good idea to make the Brotherhood of Steel evil, arguably the most marketable part of the Fallout universe they made incredibly unlikable in this show. On the one hand, it did subvert my expectations completely. On the other, it just feels like yet another way to shit on the Fallout universe. And before some people strawman me, I'm not saying the Brotherhood of Steel should be like Fallout 3 where they're all good guy knights or whatever. I'm completely fine with the Brotherhood being xenophobic isolationists who preserve technology. I think that's great. Unfortunately, they never do that in this show. No, instead, Titus is a mega pussy. He gets taken out by a fucking Yao Guai, a guy in T-60 power armor, taken out by a bear. And because he was an asshole, Maximus decides not to save him and then steals his power armor and pretends to be him. This is one of many moments where Maximus is borderline evil in this show. But I guess it's okay because the guy was a racist and he looks white. I do want to point out, he's not actually technically white, but I don't want to go into that. But of course, the question is, how the hell did Titus become a knight in the first place if you earn the power armor through acts of bravery? He was a complete pussy. But no, they don't explain it. And speaking of not explaining it, Maximus doesn't explain what happened to Titus. No, he just pretends that he died, and now he pretends to be Titus for almost the rest of the entire show. And there's no consequences for this, by the way. At the end, somehow the Brotherhood conveniently forgets that he told them that he died and Titus lived. Oh, and this is not the only plot hole in this show. In the next scene, we're back to Lucy, and we get a scene straight out of Borderlands where some idiot is living out in the middle of nowhere with no resources, somehow surviving, and he drinks all of Lucy's water. Haha, so funny, she should stop trusting people, but she keeps doing it! Eventually, she heads over to the town of Philly that's actually located in a forest. I gotta say, this is one of the few things I kinda liked about the show. There's a settlement that isn't out in the middle of a wasteland with no resources, like Megaton. And yes, there absolutely would be forests. Not only has it been well over 200 years, which is more than enough time for the radiation to be gone, but also it's not like every inch of the country was hit with nukes. So, this actually makes a lot of sense. I kinda like this. Now, something I really, really don't like is that Lucy comes across this shop called Ma's Rarities, and this old woman here explains to us that vault dwellers represent rich people and surface dwellers represent poor people. Again, this once again proves fans of the show haven't actually played the fucking games. Either that or they just conveniently ignore obvious propaganda right in their fucking face. No, Vault Dwellers represent a time capsule of the 50s retro future culture. That's why they're all so naive and friendly and neighborly, and they have to learn to survive in this inhospitable environment where everything's trying to kill you. Never at any point in any of the games is it implied that Vault Dwellers are rich people. The only vaults that maybe come close to that are the control vaults, and yes, it's set up that Vault 33 is a control vault, but it's not in reality. We'll get to that plot twist when it comes. The vast majority of vaults had horrific science experiments take place in them. I wouldn't exactly call that a haven for the rich. So of course, the lady doesn't help her, but conveniently the Enclave scientist caught up with her, and he reveals that he knows all about Vault 33, and of course, it turns out that he's the guy that she's looking for to find a way to get to her father. Of course, the ghoul shows up, and we get half of a pretty cool action scene, where we get to see Walton Goggins blow away a bunch of mercs, and actually, yeah, it's pretty cool. He's got some kind of shotgun firing, I guess armor-piercing sabo rounds? And no, I'm not gonna nitpick that. It's Fallout, obviously the guns aren't realistic, and Bethesda has proven time and time again, they know nothing about guns. But it looks pretty cool, I'll say that. One thing that does kind of bother me about this scene is that for some reason, ghouls are now basically immortal zombies. If you don't shoot them in the head, they don't die. That is a pretty big retcon, and don't try to tell me it isn't one, because it's never been established that you have to shoot them in the head. Even if you don't think gameplay is canon, which I think is just absurd, but we're not gonna get into that. This is clearly a retcon. Also, in the chaos, the ghoul stabs Dog Meat, and yes, I'll be calling the dog Dog Meat because Walton Goggins himself calls the dog Dog Meat near the end of the show, so might as well be. But don't worry, the dog doesn't die. Now this is where the episode goes to shit again. Lucy gives this grand speech, which is pretty cringe, shoots the ghoul with a trank dart. We get an admittedly pretty good line.
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
And then Maximus shows up to save the day, and they fucking turned power armor into Iron Man armor. It looks so stupid. And if you think this looks bad, just watch this, guys. come on, that's something straight out of a Bollywood film. Not to mention, Maximus is an idiot. Why doesn't he have a gun? He had a gun in a previous scene. It didn't break. In the midst of this really shitty Marvel movie fight, the old lady grinds this metal boot onto the Enclave dude's leg, which just feels like straight shock value because it doesn't even save him, by the way. And then the ghoul shows up in the room, gives Dog Meat a stim pack, and now all of a sudden they're buddies. And of course he uses Dog Meat to track down the Enclave guy. The episode ends back in the middle of the desert again. The Enclave dude is starting to bleed out, and so he tells Lucy to chop off his head because the thing they need is in his head. Again, this is done purely for shock value and is idiocy. The thing in his neck does not need to be in his head to work, so they carry around a fucking rotting head for the entire season. Nobody thinks to dig the chip out of his neck. Dude, they turn Fallout into Borderlands. You're gonna see that more and more throughout this show. This is straight up fucking Borderlands cringe, unfunny garbage. And that's episode 2. I give it a 3 out of 10. The only reason it isn't even lower than that is because Walton Goggins is pretty entertaining as the ghoul, and honestly, he only gets better from here. Everything else about this episode was awful. I feel like if you have any standards for television at all, you would have stopped watching this show after this episode. It was that bad. Now on to episode 3. It begins with a flashback before the war, as we see more of the life of Cooper Howard before he became the ghoul. It turns out he was in fact an actor for Westerns, and his wife is an executive at Vault-Tec. It's good to see, even in the alternate future of the Fallout universe, we still have diversity hires in the highest position of power. Back in the present, we see that the ghoul has come across the corpse of the Enclave scientist, and we get yet another huge retcon. Ghouls now have to take a special serum to avoid going feral. In the original game, the reason why ghouls were hated, or at least were outcast from society, is because they were ticking time bombs. They could go feral at any moment. I can't remember if it's ever quite confirmed, but it's definitely suspected that extended exposure to radiation eventually rots their brain completely and they go feral. But no, now in the show, there's a special serum that they have to take periodically to avoid going feral. I know there's gonna be some idiot that's gonna say that this is not a retcon, but there were plenty of ghouls that survived over 200 years. What is it that happened in the past 15 after New Vegas that ghouls now all of a sudden have to take a serum? No, this is a fucking retcon. After a pointless scene with Lucy, we're back to Maximus, and this is the scene I mentioned last episode where he lies to the Brotherhood pretending to be Titus and says that Maximus died. Again, there's no consequences for this. It never comes up again. After a borderline pointless scene where he has to sell one of his teeth to afford repairing a part, a bunch of raiders try to steal his power armor, and he gets his ass beat again because he lost his gun off screen. He does manage to beat up most of them, including crushing one of their heads with the power armor, and then the Brotherhood of Steel arrives, giving him a new squire. And of course, it's one of the guys who beat him up in the first scene he shows up. And so Maximus, being one of our main protagonists, a hero we can all look up to, nearly crushes his fucking head! Dude, I couldn't believe this. Is he supposed to be a villain? Man, you can tell these guys got beat up in high school and this is their revenge fantasy, because Maximus continues the cycle of bullying, doing exactly what Titus did to him. When we get back to Lucy, I'm now realizing I neglected to mention what she's actually doing. She's trying to deliver the head to the raider chick Moldaver, whose real identity is really stupid, but we'll get to that at the end. Anyway, she comes across a lake and is attacked by a gulper, which you may remember from the Far Harbor DLC for Fallout 4. Now, they looked completely different in that. Now they're giant pink salamanders with fingers in their mouths for some reason. This makes him seem more like an FEV mutant. Why the hell would radiation make you grow human fingers in your mouth? Whatever. Anyway, it eats the head. Of course, the ghoul catches up with her and decides to use her as bait while he monologues about how ineffective torture is. This is probably the scene where I ended up liking this guy, because he's definitely a villain. I don't know if they were attempting to write an anti-hero, but he's definitely not. He's a villain. But he's a good villain. Walton Goggins is a great actor, and I think they were trying to go for a New Vegas vibe with the cowboy thing, but to me, it honestly feels more like a character straight out of the New Vegas Bounties mods developed by Some Guy 2000. And those are all great if you haven't played them. Despite being some of the oldest mods for New Vegas, they're still probably the best. Back at Vault 33, we get our third concurrent plot throughout the season, the mystery behind this triple vault system. I gotta say, it was actually pretty intriguing. For a while, this was my favorite part of the show and the reason I kept watching. Big Schnoz actually turns out to be a pretty good character. Unfortunately, they really ruin it at the end, so I'm not going to cover it episode by episode. We'll talk about the whole side plot when it wraps up at the end. After we get a scene dedicated to Maximus just abusing his bully, we get another subtle retcon. The bully implies that the Brotherhood of Steel is going to wipe out ghouls from existence. Did the writers confuse the Brotherhood with the Enclave? Killing ghouls has never been an objective of the Brotherhood. Where the hell did this come from? And don't even tell me he pulled this out of his ass just because he's supposed to be a racist. Though, actually, knowing these writers, maybe that is exactly what they're implying. But anyway, back to the ghoul and Lucy. The gulper eventually takes bite, nearly voring Lucy, but of course it gets away. And this is where another major plot hole happens. The ghoul says gulpers digest slowly. He then makes a joke about side quests.
Wasteland's got its own golden rule.
Oh, what's that?
Thou shalt get sidetracked by bullshit every goddamn time.
Ooh, wow, haha, so meta. And then he leaves to go sell Lucy's organs. I'm not making this up, that is the sequence of events. I seriously have to ask at this point, if you're a real human and you like this show, did you get high before watching? Were you drinking? Did you get vaxxed 3 or 4 times? How the hell could you like this show? So back to Maximus and the Squire, we get an incredibly awkward scene where Maximus gets the Squire to explain why he bullied him. But obviously, since he's still pretending to be Titus, he does it by trying to get him to say something horrible about him, and this somehow leads him to explaining that the only reason he bullied Maximus is because he himself was bullied until he showed up, and so he just redirected the bullying to Maximus. And so it's supposed to be this big, like, oh, see, this guy's not so bad. And so then Maximus starts treating him better. Unfortunately, this goes in a really stupid direction later, but I actually kind of like this scene. It felt much more mature than the rest of this show, but it was handled somewhat poorly. Oh, and I know I said I wasn't going to bring up the Vault 33 subplot, but I do want to point out that a black guy, who I guess is an engineer, says that the water chip is broken and they never bring it up again. So that was just a completely pointless reference to Fallout 1. Which is funny because if you've played Fallout 1, you know that this show completely shits all over the story with all of the retcons. You want me to name another big one? The Master, the villain of the original game who was turning people into super mutants, was finding those people from vaults. And his headquarters was located near the Boneyard. It would have been in spitting distance of Vault 33. You're telling me that he never found this vault that was out in the open? He never managed to get inside and mutate all those people into super mutants. Speaking of super mutants, there are none in this show. The West Coast canonically has intelligent super mutants, unless they all got killed by the Brotherhood of the Enclave or something. But no, they are never mentioned in this show. One of the most iconic things in the Fallout franchise isn't in the Fallout TV show. Okay, enough tangents, let's wrap up this episode. Eventually, Maximus catches up to the head. He saves his squire from being devoured alive, yanks out its guts, and now they have the head. And for the final scene, it cuts back to the ghoul and Lucy, and to just spit in my face in particular, and all the shills who fucking lied in my first review. The ghoul drinks water directly in front of Lucy. And you know what's funny? In a later episode, he eats food, too. Ghouls need water to survive. This has been established multiple times in the series, and it's now established in the show, and yet he was buried underground 4 years with no water or food. Explain it, shills. Explain it. And for the final scene of the episode, we're back in the past again, and we see that Cooper inspired the Vault Boy. Yes, even though the Vault Boy has blonde hair, no, it was Walton Goggins' character throwing up a thumbs up that inspired the Vault Boy. Wow, what a great addition to the Fallout lore. All right, episode 3 gets a 4 out of 10. It was definitely better than the last one. I suppose if you turned off your brain completely and didn't care about the Fallout lore at all, it's kind of watchable, but it certainly isn't good by any metric. On to episode 4. This one is supposed to be all about Lucy losing her innocence and seeing how horrific the wasteland is. It starts off with the ghoul taking her to some other ghoul guy who's about to turn feral, and I'm just going to call him Cooper for the rest of the show. The ghoul is such a stupid fucking name. Cooper shoots him before he goes feral and then starts eating him. He's not even feral, yet he'll fucking eat other ghouls. What the hell? But I guess I finally figured out why Zoomers like this show. He eats ass.
Come on, Vaulty. Ass jerky don't make itself.
In the next scene, we see Lucy has gotten so thirsty that she's willing to drink irradiated water. And conveniently, Cooper starts to turn feral because he ran out of serum, I guess. So Lucy makes a run for it. But he catches her with his lasso, but then she ends up biting his finger off. And so to get even, he slices one of her fingers off, and she barely even reacts, dude. What is this terrible acting? And you guys say she's not a Mary Sue. Oh, and once again, I want to briefly talk about Vault 33 because Sweet Home Alabama ends up hooking up with the blonde chick after her husband died, and she's pregnant with his child. And she ends up giving birth, and Alabama raises another man's child. Now I know why Redditors like this show. But before I start saying stuff that's gonna get me banned, let's get back to Lucy and Cooper. He ends up delivering her to a super duper mart that functions as a organ harvesting clinic. As soon as she gets inside, he passes out. I guess that's part of the process of becoming feral now. And she ends up meeting a Mr. Handy, and she acts like she's never seen one before. I mean, I can understand her vault not having any of them, but really? She knows about power armor. Whatever, we get another kind of stupid scene where the Mr. Handy sews a rotting finger that was just sitting in a drawer for who knows how long, not frozen, onto her hand, and it just works. Then the Mr. Handy rolls her out to the two owners of this legitimate business, and they're straight out of Idiocracy. There's no guards here, by the way, either. These guys own like more than a dozen slaves, yet they couldn't afford any raider guards or mercs or anything to that effect. Paradise Falls from Fallout 3 had to have at least 20 slavers in there who were fully armed and competent. But, you know, in the Fallout TV show, it's just two retards and their robot. Because, you know, no one would be smart enough to try and actually raid a place full of supplies. No. Especially not after the NCR collapsed. There definitely wouldn't be raiders trying to get supplies. No. Oh, and it gets even dumber. When the Mr. Handy takes her to the surgery room, it doesn't sedate her, and she just kicks its fucking arm? A 90-pound woman kicked a robot's arm and then just rolled off of the bed. Then she uses a defibrillator to shock the thing. Anyway, she rolls out the Mr. Handy to the two idiots. They make a joke about her holding an air conditioner hostage. While they don't draw their guns, because she's clearly no threat to them, she reveals that she filled its hose with a Braxo cleaner, which is basically just supposed to be bleach, but the show acts like it's hydrochloric acid. Either way, she gets them to release all of the slaves, including feral ghouls, which, why the hell do they have feral ghouls as slaves? Don't even try to tell me that ghoul organs are good for something. And obviously you can't use feral ghouls for any slave labor. This doesn't make any sense. Did anyone watching this show use their brain at any moment? Whatever, the ghouls and the idiots manage to take each other out, except for one woman who's barely holding it together. Of course, she ends up going feral, and Lucy has to pick up the 10mm pistol from Fallout. Make sure to get your replica in the Bethesda store. You know what's funny? There was a bot that actually tried to say this show was made with love because they made a replica 10mm pistol from Fallout 4. This isn't even the original design for the 10mm pistol. No, this is the Fallout 4 redesign. In fact, all of the iconic Fallout weapons are the Fallout 4 designs. And look, I realize this is completely subjective and up to personal taste, but I just think the Fallout 4 gun designs are ugly. So as we just saw, Lucy, who's totally not a Mary Sue girl boss, single-handedly took out this organ harvesting operation and then gives Cooper a vial of the ghoul serum to save him. After she leaves, Cooper heads inside and raids all of their supplies and watches one of his old cowboy movies. And I guess since he doesn't need the bounty from the Enclave guy's head anymore, he drops out of the plot for a while. And that's episode 4. Again, I'd probably have to give it another 4 out of 10. It was barely watchable. Again, this show is dumb as hell, but at the very least, Walton Goggins' acting is very entertaining to watch, but pretty much everything else about the show sucks. Now on to episode 5. The first scene in this episode is incredibly stupid. Maximus reveals to his squire that he's not in fact Titus, and so Maximus is like, listen, we gotta get our story straight before we report back to the Brotherhood, but no, the squire guy is like, they're gonna kill you! Why the hell would they kill him, especially if he hadn't lied in the first place? But even though he did lie, he could just say that Titus died honorably in combat, and so he had to take up the power armor to finish the mission. Why would they kill him for that? They're not even supposed to be here in the West Coast. They were eliminated by the New California Republic. And by the end of New Vegas, depending on who you sided with, they were either absorbed into the NCR or wiped out completely by like all of the other factions. That's really something I should have mentioned in the first video, but my point is, it doesn't really make any sense to bring them back just to make them look this bad. Anyway, Maximus, being clearly an evil psycho, stomps on the squire's foot, crushing it, and it looks horribly mangled when they show it later. But he manages to get behind him and removes the fusion core from the power armor, which, of course, the showrunner's doing zero research. Think that you get locked inside the armor when it runs out of power. Can you imagine in Fallout 4 if when you ran out of fusion cores, you just got soft locked? And don't tell me that's just a gameplay mechanic. That makes no fucking sense. Even in the dystopian world of Fallout, you don't think someone would have brought up at some point that you get locked inside power armor if it runs out of power? Yeah, again, more bad writing and retcons, but no, the show never breaks the canon. The show never breaks canon. I'm not an AI chatbot, I swear. Anyway, the next morning, a bunch of rad roaches tried to devour him alive, but Lucy just so happens to find him. Guys, how big is this wasteland? It's supposed to be 3 blocks? And yes, I know Lucy has a tracker on the head, but the squire already left hours ago. What are the chances she would pass down the exact same path where the head was the previous night? Whatever, I guess I'm nitpicking again. So after a really long, pointless conversation, Lucy decides to trust him. Maximus is like the one guy she should trust because he literally saved her life. But anyway, they start traveling together and she asks him what happened in the last 200 years. And this idiot thought that when she mentioned the bombs falling, that she was referring to the nuke dropped on Shady Sands and not the world ending. So we've established that the Brotherhood of Steel is not only debatably evil now, but they don't even teach initiates basic history. Eventually, the pair come across two suspicious figures on a bridge, and Maximus, being smart for once, says we should draw our gun. Because we can't trust anyone, right? Because Lucy just told us that she doesn't trust people anymore, right? No, this fucking dumb bitch doesn't want to draw her gun. And oh, big shock, they turn out to be fiends. Yes, they're trying to throw a bone to New Vegas fans after shitting down their throat multiple times. And one of the fiends gets a shot off on Maximus. He loaded a rotten tooth into his gun, which I'm not even going to get into that, but whatever. The point is, he gets injured because Lucy's an idiot. Then next up, we finally get to the biggest fuck you in the entire show, where we see the giant crater where Shady Sands used to be. It was populated with 34,000 people. And as they reveal in a later scene, it looks like they basically restored civilization back to the wasteland, just like I said in my review of episode 1. And like I mentioned in the intro, this is not where Shady Sands is located. Shady Sands is not in LA, it's like at least 100 miles outside of it. They could have looked this shit up on the wiki, man. There's no excuse, they didn't do any research. And Todd Howard hates what Fallout's really about, and that's a post-apocalypse where humanity is trying to rebuild after the world ended. And by the time of Fallout New Vegas, they succeeded. The new California Republic dominated the state. They effectively brought the old world America back, though arguably even more corrupt, and it was starting to fall apart at the time of New Vegas. If you paid attention to the dialogue from a lot of the characters, especially Caesar, a big part of his motivation with the Legion was seeing the gradual decline of the NCR. But instead of seeing that happen naturally due to the results of the Second Battle of Hoover Dam, no, Bethesda just fucking nuked it back to square one. Somehow, just destroying the capital city wiped out an entire empire across the state. Why did Bethesda do this? Well, a lot of people speculate it's because of the long-running rumor that they hate Fallout New Vegas, because they didn't make it, Obsidian did. And a lot of the people who worked on Fallout New Vegas worked on Fallout 1 and 2. And so, of course, to no one's surprise, the original creators of the series did a much better job than the hacks at Bethesda. And Fallout New Vegas is still considered by most to be the greatest game in the series. So Bethesda has been butthurt about this for over a decade, and this show was finally their opportunity to say fuck you to all the real fans of Fallout. That's exactly what happened, and that is why I fucking despise the people who like this show. Fallout died with Fallout 4, and this is just pissing on the corpse. In the last couple scenes of the show, Lucy and Maximus take refuge inside a vault four, and it's another vault that has somehow managed to survive over 200 years. Do the writers even understand the appeal of the vaults in the Fallout games? Discovering the horrendous experiments that either killed or mutated everyone inside is one of the most fun parts of those games. And while it's obvious that some experiments went down here, they subvert your expectations, I'll put it at that. And that's the end of episode 5. I can't really give this a real rating because I skipped about half the episode, since about half of it was the Vault 33 subplot. And I will say that half of the episode was definitely better. But showing where Shady Sands got nuked is such a massive fuck you to the real fans of Fallout that I can't really rate this in good faith. It ruins the entire series. Episode 6 begins with another flashback showing Cooper Howard advertising for the vaults. He's then approached by an executive named Bud, and they start talking about T-45 power armor, and apparently now there's a new fatal flaw with the armor that has never come up before. Definitely not a retcon, the show never breaks the canon, as the bots say. And of course this is foreshadowing for one of the dumbest scenes in the show in the finale, we'll get to that later. I also want to point out that the T-51 is never mentioned in the show. In fact, did you know that China is never mentioned by name in the show? They only ever referred to them as the Reds. Gee, do you think that's a coincidence? Actually, to the morons who like the show, yeah, they probably do think it is. Anyway, this Corpo guy is incredibly obnoxious. The only reason he exists is a setup for a later twist, which is also stupid. The next scene is a corporate party at Cooper's house, and we get to meet the voice of Cogsworth and all the Mr. Handys. Then they talk about communists for a while, and we get quite possibly the dumbest theme of the show that keeps getting pushed from this point forward, that you can make a massive profit off of the end of the world. Now, if you don't take this literally, there is an argument to be made that you can make a lot of money off of selling the apocalypse, especially if you're a gun store. But that's not what they're going for. They are very literal with this, as you'll see later. Then in the next scene, we see a couple sheriffs have captured Cooper, and they say they work for the government. Now, I thought this might be a setup for the Enclave to come back, but no, this is a complete nothing burger, as you'll see later in this episode. And now we're back to Lucy and Maximus again in Vault 4. I'm going to very briefly sum up everything that happens in this vault, because it's complete filler. You could cut this entire part of the show out and lose nothing of value. But first, I have to show you quite possibly the worst dialogue I've ever seen in a TV show.
You want to have sex?
You mean use my cock?
Yeah.
I don't know. That weird thing could happen.
What weird thing?
Well, it's just for some guys, not me. But for some guys, you know, when they make it move. It gets all big and hard like a big pimple, and then it pops. You know, they say it could happen to anybody, but still, it's gross.
The Brotherhood of Steel doesn't teach kids about sex. This is what I'm saying. They're obviously supposed to be evangelical Christians who are probably also racist. This is so fucking transparent. Bethesda is so stupid that they let this go through. Okay, anyway, as for the Vault 4 plot, long story short, we get to see the infamous chalkboard that explains what happened to the NCR. Shady Sands mysteriously fell, quote unquote, in 2277, and this has been confirmed by Todd Howard himself, that this is not the nuke being showed in the chalkboard. No, of course, the nuke dropped at an unknown date that's not written on the chalkboard. And this is totally intentional because, you know, every other point on the chalkboard has a year next to it, but not the nuke, right? No one knows when the nuke dropped because the show has to be canon, which means that it couldn't have dropped in 2277 because obviously every goddamn NCR soldier in New Vegas in 2281 would have fucking mentioned their capital getting nuked. So no, mysteriously, sometime in the 2280s, Shady Sands got nuked, but before that, they quote-unquote fell. Even though, again, not a single NPC in New Vegas describes Shady Sands having fallen, especially not, you know, Caesar, the guy who monologues about how the NCR is slowly becoming more corrupt and collapsing. No, he wouldn't talk about Shady Sands falling. No, no. It's almost like all the people defending this didn't play the game. Whatever, anyway, I gotta move on. So, of course, the residents of this vault, at least some of them, are mutants. The Overseer has one eye. There's a guy with a nose on his forehead. Of course, nobody ever brings it up because they have to build the tension like they're gonna get captured and experimented on. Well, actually, no, they completely subvert your expectations. As it turns out, the original residents of the vault were mega evil Nazi scientists who did the weirdest experiments ever, including making a woman give birth to baby gulpers, who then devour her alive. But eventually, the lab rats rose up and killed all the evil scientists, and now they just accept surface dwellers into their vault. And these surface dwellers have now become cultists for Moldaver. They worship her as some kind of god or some shit, and this is never followed up on, by the way. And as it turns out, Moldaver is actually from the past, and they don't explain that either. And I know what you're gonna say, and we'll get to that. But there's no reason why she would have been one of the people who was preserved. So this stupid waste of time subplot that adds nothing to the story ends with Maximus stealing their fusion core, possibly killing all of them, getting in his power armor, beating the shit out of people for no reason except for humor, and then when they leave, Lucy convinces him to give them back the fusion core so they don't all die. And this is over the course of 2 episodes. They fucking wasted the audience's time so hard with this one. Anyway, back to episode 6. Next scene, we get yet another flashback where we learn that Cooper's wife is just straight up evil. Not only do they not allow dogs in the vault for seemingly no reason, but she also emotionally manipulates him into believing that she's the victim for him going off to war and possibly dying, experiencing untold horrors. He probably has PTSD, but no, she's the victim because she had to wonder if he would come back home alive. Are you fucking kidding me? This is Hillary Clinton all over again. Back to the present, we get another kind of pointless scene. Admittedly, it was cool at least, where Cooper is taken in front of the president, who's basically just a warlord who decided to call himself the president because he wants to restore law to the waste again. And Cooper sews his finger back on. I guess ghouls can just heal without radiation now. Cooper ends up taking responsibility for shutting down the organ harvesting operation and also admits to killing multiple people in Philly. I'm assuming this is so they don't find out about the chip in the Enclave scientist's head. So then we get a kind of cool scene straight out of a western where he kills both of the sheriffs. Then over the course of 2 different flashbacks, we get to see that Moldaver not only is from the past and survived all the way to the present with no explanation, no, she wasn't frozen. Not only that, but she was the leader of a company that was discovering how to create cold fusion, an unlimited energy source, which of course Vault-Tec bought her out, because obviously capitalists don't want to end the resource war. And yeah, that's episode 6. I told it largely out of order, but that's because 6 and 7 might as well have been a big two-parter. So I'm not going to rate this one. Let's just go to episode 7. At the start of episode 7, we see 2 prospectors wearing NCR veteran ranger armor, and no, they don't explain it, this is purely just a visual reference to try and appease New Vegas fans. Not to mention, that's like the cheapest looking costume probably in this whole show. I've seen cosplays better than that. At least the scene becomes cool afterward, as the ghoul is waiting for them. Cooper explains he killed the guy's older son, but the bullet hole in the letter landed perfectly on the spot pointing to where Moldaver is located. So he threatens to kill the other son if he isn't given location, and well, he does end up killing him. So even though he didn't end up getting the location, I still thought it was a pretty entertaining scene. In a later scene, we finally get a follow-up on the head situation. The squire's foot is horribly mangled, so he's probably going to die, and this piece of shit decides to lock up dog meat in a Nuka-Cola cooler. What the fuck? I thought they were trying to make this character sympathetic. Then in a much later scene, he comes across the snake oil salesman that was saved in episode 2, which I'm not even sure if I even mentioned that in this review, but who gives a shit? The point is, the guy has a magical serum that gives the guy magical regeneration powers. And in a later scene, they imply he's turning into a ghoul. Why didn't they just make it the forced evolutionary virus? Again, I brought this up earlier, but there's no super mutants in this show. But if that was a vial of FEV, that would have made perfect sense why his foot regenerated. Him turning into a ghoul doesn't make any. I don't know, whatever. This whole part was stupid. Moving on. Eventually, Cooper just so happens to come across the Red Rocket so he could save Dogmeat. Over hundreds of miles of wasteland he could have explored. He somehow knew exactly where to go to find Dogmeat and save him. And then we get possibly the most Borderlands scene of the entire show, where Lucy and Maximus finally catch up to the Squire. He shoots at them and misses every fucking shot, which they just turn into a joke. Then he steps over a tripwire trap that shoots a crossbow bolt into his neck, and he lives! And this is the part where they imply, oh, he's turning into a ghoul. Because now you can only kill ghouls by shooting them in the head, not a retcon though. And then the dude just hands over the head. Doesn't matter if Maximus tried to kill him multiple times. No, they're buddies now. And Maximus now decides he's going to betray the Brotherhood for seemingly no reason. And so he gives Lucy the real head and he takes a smashed up head back to them with no plan. And then we get the most unintentionally funny moment in the show. Our two heroes kiss. I can't even fucking say it. I can't even get it out, guys. I'm losing my fucking mind. This is gonna be my new reaction image every time I see propaganda. Okay, I've calmed down. And yeah, before I get banned, let's just wrap this up. Episode 7 actually ends with a scene in Vault 33, but like I said, we'll cover that whole subplot at the beginning of the next episode. Alright, I will rate Episode 6 and 7 as a pair since they're pretty much linked in all their plots. I'd give them a 5, even though they definitely still shit on the lore. These were probably the two most watchable episodes, where you could just kind of turn your brain off and be vaguely entertained by what's going on. Again, still not good. I feel like people's standards for television are incredibly low that they would actually like this show, because these are probably the two best episodes and they're just mediocre at best. Okay, with episode 8, I will finally wrap back around to the Vault 33 subplot and briefly sum up everything that happens. Like I said, for a while, this was the most interesting part of the show. We get to see Big Schnoz slowly unravel the mystery of what the experiment was at this tri-vault system. We see that the residents of Vault 32 all killed each other years before the Raiders got to that vault. And of course, they sow the mystery of, okay, what did they figure out about Vault 31 that caused them to all kill each other? And so Big Schnoz does some digging. Despite being the manlit, nerd, chud guy, he actually has more courage than anyone else. Which I actually really like that. He's probably the most likable character in the show. What I don't like is his cousin being a cuckold and raising another man's child. And the blonde chick is from Vault 31, so she's one of the traitor people. And speaking of which, Big Schnoz finds out that all of the people who were elected overseer in Vault 32 and 33 were from Vault 31. And I find this very interesting given the type of people who like this show think that the 2020 election was the most secure in history, you know, of course. But honestly, what I find even more interesting was the chosen number of 33. Those of you who are into conspiracy theories will know that number is associated with Freemasons. And that was definitely intentional, as you'll see with the twist in Vault 31. So anyway, somehow, all of Vault 32 is seemingly cleaned up overnight, and residents of Vault 33 are to be moved back into 32 so that they can restore life to it, and the experiment in the vaults can continue. Eventually, Big Schnoz hacks into the Overseer's computer and tries to communicate with 31 and is let inside. And the big twist that we discover is that the Corpo guy, Bud Askin, from the past, is now a brain on top of a Roomba. Are you fucking kidding me? This is Borderlands. This is not Fallout. This is Borderlands. Whatever. Anyway, so the big twist is that these vaults have not been operating for 200 years. They've been bringing people from the past out of cryostasis. Yes, this is another vault as cryogenic freezing. No, that wasn't just an experiment in Vault 111. No, apparently it's also in Vault 31. So Lucy's dad turns out to also be from the past. That's all the Vault 33 subplot was leading toward. What a fucking disappointment. Anyway, back to episode 8. We see Maximus getting interrogated by the Brotherhood of Steel. No, they don't bring up that he impersonated Knight Titus. That plot point, completely forgotten by the writers. But they do discover it's the wrong head, obviously. And he's about to be executed, but then the She-Man saves him by admitting that she placed the trap in her own boot. God, I hate this show. Anyway, so now we get to the big climax, where the Brotherhood of Steel flies over to Moldaver and her band of raiders slash ex-NCR members. and the battle looks really fucking stupid. I know some of you are gonna think, oh, this is cool. Dude, there's a Brotherhood of Steel guy in power armor with no gun who just, like, slaps dudes and slams them into a table. It's fucking dumb, dude. And it only gets dumber because, of course, Cooper follows them all the way here, and he makes a comment about a fatal flaw with T-45 power armor, and he wonders if T-60 fixed the flaw. Of course it didn't. So he just shoots them all in the weak spot and kills them instantly. This show's so dumb, it's unreal. This is basically a Marvel movie. No, actually, that's an insult to Marvel movies. This is a DC movie climax. But believe it or not, it actually gets worse because Lucy is also here, and she learns that her dad is the one who nuked Shady Sands. Okay. And they explain this with one final flashback where we get to see a meeting between all the executives of the mega corporations. They have their own Illuminati, essentially, right here. And of course, Cooper's wife represents Vault-Tec, and she suggests to everyone that they should nuke America first because they can make a profit off of the apocalypse. Guys, that might just be the dumbest plot point I have ever heard in any television show. Communists literally do not understand basic economics, supply and demand. You're telling me you want to kill off 99.999% of your customer base, and you somehow think you're going to make a profit. They've established Vault-Tec is a $1 trillion company in this show. They don't explain what they sell. We might as well just say they're Amazon. That's honestly a better headcanon than anything else you could explain. They also retcon Mr. House and make him to be an idiot. He says that he's not even sure the bombs will drop. When in New Vegas, it's established he knew it would happen. That's why he set up defenses to shoot down nukes. That's why New Vegas is in such great condition compared to every other major city in the United States. So again, didn't do any basic fucking research, but oh, it doesn't break canon though. It doesn't break canon though. And man, they make this black woman so cartoonishly evil. On top of wanting to genocide the human race, she straight up says to the other executives of these companies that you can have some vaults and run whatever experiments you want in them. And that's how they explain all the crazy shit that goes down in the vaults. Holy fuck. You can't defend this scene. It's too stupid. It doesn't work on any level. It doesn't pass basic logic. Anyway, back to the present, we learn what Moldaver's grand plan was. The Enclave scientists stole the formula, code, whatever, the thing that activates cold fusion, giving the wasteland unlimited energy. So yes, she was a good guy all along. It also turns out she's a lesbian and was in love with Lucy's mom. And also, she keeps her around as a ghoul, dude. This bitch is a psycho. So like I said before, Lucy's dad nuked Shady Sands because that would have been competition for Vault-Tec. Guys, I seriously can't take the show anymore. It was so painful to watch it up until this point. So whatever, let's wrap this up really quick. So Lucy's dad ends up escaping, gets the power armor. Moldaver is bleeding out. So our heroes decide to follow him out into the unknown. The Brotherhood of Steel obviously captures Cold Fusion, so now they have unlimited power on the West Coast. Nice plan, Moldaver. You really thought that one through, you fucking idiot bitch. And the show ends with Lucy's dad coming across Vegas, and it's dead. They killed Vegas too. I've seen some copium from people who weren't fucking paying attention, probably because they're bots, but you can clearly see the wall has been breached. The power is off. I guess after the events of New Vegas, the tunnelers overran everything and killed everybody, or maybe the Legion blew up Hoover Dam. Actually, I doubt the Legion will even get mentioned in Season 2 because they're too problematic. But yeah, they destroyed New Vegas. As if they didn't shit down the fans' throats hard enough. So yeah, is there any point to having a real conclusion? I'm sure this video already dragged on way too long. You know exactly what I think of it. If this was non-canon, it would just be mediocre slop that doesn't even make sense on its own. There's multiple major plot holes, extreme conveniences, and just plain old bad dialogue, bad writing, pro-communist propaganda that doesn't even make sense on a basic level. Some of the most diverse casting I have ever seen, and I believe there's 4 interracial couples in this show as well. Not to mention Lucy is arguably a Mary Sue, and there's plenty of women in positions of power. They made a black woman not only like the lead executive of Vault Tech, but also a genocidal maniac. So were leftists the real racists all along? That's certainly worse than anything I would ever write. But really, the worst thing of all is that it just craps all over the original games. And if that doesn't bother you, then you're not a fan of Fallout, period. The fact that there are a bunch of huge YouTubers shilling this show, including one guy famous for mentioning The Message, yet he never brings it up when talking about this show. I don't have to name him, you know exactly who it is. Completely sold out, dude. A lot of the people you thought were based, red-pilled, right-wing, whatever, no, they're just grifters. Before I end this video, I want to throw another shout out toward the Archcast and Kretosis for being very critical of this show. Another shout out to V for mentioning me in his video. And anybody else who proved that they have critical thinking skills and they're not being paid to shill a fucking Amazon show. Even if we don't see eye to eye politically on a lot of things, because I'm self-aware enough to know my views are pretty extreme, but the important thing is we all stand together in gatekeeping Fallout from the fucking normies who want to destroy everything because they don't give a flying fuck. They are completely mindless consumers. They do not care about the franchise, about the characters, about the lore, about the story, or even the basic themes. You will never be a fan of Fallout if you like this show. That's about it. See you next time, guys.